Wow, I'm so proud of you. You've just taken the next step toward what should be the greatest 3 days of your life. 3 days that you've set aside to meet with God, just as the prophets of old met with God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses met with God face to face. All the major and the minor prophets like Isaiah and Joel, Ezekiel, Daniel. You're setting aside 3 days to meet with God just as they did. Now, if you were to be meeting with the President of the United States, you know what? There would be a tremendous time of great preparation, wouldn't there? And the CIA would be here making sure that, all the security was in place. There would be a time of tremendous preparation. Think about that time that you prepare for that first date with a person that you believe to be your future spouse. Do you remember the time that it took you to get ready? You was getting your car ready. You spent a couple of hours just getting your wheels ready. Not only that, you went to take care of your hair. And you showered and you bought some nice smelling, cologne or perfume. Why? Just to meet with that person that you thought was special. Well, the question that I would say, or that I would present, well, how much more preparation time we should spend if we're about to be meeting with the creator of all the universe? So we're going to spend the next 15 or so minutes preparing you to meet with God on your encounter weekend. Now, if you look with me at Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10, the script, and this is out of the Message translation, the Bible says that God said to Moses, "Moses, go to the people for the next 2 days and get the people ready to meet with the Holy God. Have them scrub their clothes, for on the third day they will be fully prepared, because on the third day God will come down from Mount Sinai and make his presence known to all the people." Now listen, each time in the Old Testament, before the priests or the people would meet with God, before the priests and the people would enter even the temple of God, there was a time of tremendous preparation, a time of preparing their hearts and their mindsets and even their souls so that they would worship God. Now you might ask, well, Pastor, could you tell me what type of preparation is necessary for me to be prepared for this encounter? Well, there are two types of preparation. The first type of preparation would be the practical preparation. Now, your practical preparation really needs to take place with your cell leader or the person that invited you to come on the encounter. And all these practical things would be like, what do you need to bring? Like, toiletries, or do you need to bring bed linens, or maybe even do you need to bring a little snack food, or what shouldn't you bring? Like, you definitely shouldn't be bringing a CD player, or, should you be bringing some shorts in case you want to get baptized, or a bathing suit so you can get baptized in water? You need to check with your cell leader about what to bring. Or even a question like, well, how much does it cost? You got to check with your cell leader. What about, when is the encounter going to be? What's the date? Or what time is it going to begin? Where do I meet with you? Or where is the encounter going to be? Is it going to be at the church? Or are we going away somewhere? You need to check with your cell leader about that. I can hear the question would be, well, what will happen in case of an emergency? Can I get some contact information to get it to maybe our babysitter or our family in case something were to happen? Absolutely. All of that practical preparation you need to make with your cell leader or the person that invited you on the encounter. But today, I don't want to focus on the practical preparation. I want to focus on the spiritual preparation. Now, there to be spiritually prepared, you got to understand that there are going to be five stages of every encounter weekend that we have at Hope Alive. On Friday night, We're going to be spending time going to the cross of Calvary. We're going to visit Calvary. Well, we're going to allow the cross to confront, our shortcomings. We want the full revelation of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And then on Saturday morning, we will begin by allowing God the Father to embrace us and to heal our emotions. Whether your heart has been really broken by some terrible emotional wound, or maybe it's been hardened so much that you can't feel, we're going to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be helped, to heal us from the inside out. The next thing that we're going to do is we're going to spend some time contending with all those demons that have tormented us in the past, or maybe even perhaps they're tormenting us today. You know, those, like that grip of alcoholism, man, that has you, or maybe that demon that you're trying to shake, that, that demon of lust, or, maybe even like poverty, or, all those things that you say, man, I really don't want this thing in my life, I mean, like, go away, bad devil, We're going to spend some time confronting those things that have been tormenting you. Now, here is the great news. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of the vengeance of our God." See, the scripture not only promises, speaking prophetically about Jesus, that God wouldn't only, that Jesus Christ wouldn't only come to heal our broken heart, and not only to rebuild the ruins in our lives and restore the places that have been destroyed by the enemies of our life, but the Bible says that Jesus came to set the captives free, to release us from dark, to release from darkness all the prisoners that are being tormented. Listen, He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if Jesus did this in the Gospels, He can do it for us today. So we're going to spend some time contending with those things that are troubling us. Now, you might ask the question, how do I know if I've been, if the trouble I've experienced, or I've been experiencing, or I am experiencing, is the work of a devil? Well, listen, let me get this straight from the beginning. I want you to know the first thing, all the trouble in your life is not a direct result from demonic activity. Life in itself can bear with it a whole lot of trouble. However, what I do want you to know is that in the Gospels, there are five different references, to Jesus contending with people, who were being, tormented by different demons, or people that had, there was a demonic grip that was holding people. And listen, there are not only five different accounts, there are more than five accounts, but basically I have found that there are five different words used to describe the five different things, or the five different times which Jesus broke the powerful grip of the devil on somebody's life. The first time, or the first word used to describe that, is the word called possess. Now, you find this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, when the Bible says that there were two demon-possessed men who ran around naked in a, in a graveyard, that were very violent. That word possess, that Greek word possess, means controlled by an emotion, as if by an evil spirit, but not necessarily to be owned by that, but to some degree to be controlled by. The second word used in the Bible is the word called bound. And you find that word in Luke chapter 13, verse 16, when the Bible describes how a Canaanite woman was, her daughter it's referring to the daughter of Abraham that was being bound by a devil. And that word bound means to tie up or to limit. The third word is the word called, or the word used is vexed. And you find that word in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, when it's referring to that Canaanite woman that I was just referring to earlier, the Canaanite woman whose daughter was vexed by a demon. And that word vexed means to be provoked, or just to be irritated, or be agitated, or to be afflicted. And I don't know about you, But I know for me, there have been many times in my life that I've been, my emotions are being controlled partially. Like, I don't want to be sad. I'm depressed. I don't want to be depressed. But it's as though, and it's not just, I know it's not just a physical thing going on in my life. You know, this is just a spiritual thing. And, to some extent, I'm being, controlled by, my emotions are being afflicted or controlled by a demonic spirit. Sometimes I just feel like, man, I'm tied up or I'm bound. And, there have even been times in my life when I've been just irritated, or feel like I'm being agitated by a demonic spirit. And, I'm just aggravated. Like, I don't know why I should be happy. And you know what I'm saying. Look, the fourth word that's used in the scripture is found in Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29, when the Bible says that a small boy who had a spirit that would make, cause him not to be able to speak, had him all bound up. And the scripture reference says that this young boy has a dumb spirit. And that word has in the Greek means to cling to or to darken or to blacken. And I know that there are many times in your life, or perhaps there may have been at least one time, when you feel like, your life has been darkened. The fifth word used to describe this kind of experience or, get off my back, devil, is the word called oppressed. And you find that word in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And that word being oppressed by a devil means to exercise dominion over to some degree. It doesn't mean a total possession. As a matter of fact, I've never met anybody that was totally possessed by a demon, but I have encountered people that at different times that people would be, to some degree, they were oppressed. There was a heavy weight on their life, a load or a burden, or maybe they were just being treated unjustly, with some sort of unjust severity, or maybe even they were being, depressed. And that's what that word oppressed means. So we're going to spend some time contending with those demons that we feel have tormented our life. We're going to take the authority of Jesus Christ and contend with those things that have troubled us. The fourth stage of that encounter, or on the fourth stage of the encounter, we will spend, allowing the Holy Spirit to richly dwell within us. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with the same power and the same presence that He filled the early disciples with in Acts chapter 2. And then when that's all done, we're going to turn our eyes to the fifth stage of our encounter. We're going to turn our eyes toward heaven, and we're going to ask the Lord specifically to give a specific direction for our life. What good would it be for us to spend 3 days in the presence of God, encountering God, but not have no direction, specific direction from God telling us where we're going to go with our life from this day from this point forward? Now, listen, if you're asking me, what do I exactly do I need to expect? Then this is what I would tell you today. This is, all these things that I've covered is what you need to expect and to prepare yourself spiritually for this encounter. I want you to know that in a very contemporary way, I believe that the encounter, on the encounter, we're going to experience the intensity of an all-powerful, almighty, and sovereign God. Now listen, I'm not talking about in a traditional, religious sense, but I'm talking about in a very modern and contemporary, a very relevant way in your life. We're gonna experience, the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, in a very intense way. And, so I want you to prepare yourself, because I believe on this weekend, there's going to be weeping. And yet there's going to be a lot of laughter. And, there's going to be a lot of shouting, and I believe that there's going to be such excitement and celebration that some might even get into, you know, get their groove on and start dancing a little bit. Who knows? Before the weekend is over, you might have your grooving shoes on, dancing before God and celebrating too. Whatever it may be, just prepare yourself. This is going to be a contemporary, relevant, and intense face-to-face meeting with God. Now, I not only believe, but I know that this weekend has the potential to be the greatest weekend of your entire life. So I want you to begin to pray that your soul is prepared, that your mind is prepared, that you're going to encounter the cross of Calvary, that God would heal your heart, and that you would be ready to contend with those things, those sources of irritation that have stopped you from going forward with Jesus Christ, that you would encounter the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you would have a clear vision as to what God would do in your life. Let me pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask God, the sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus and Lord, the sanctifying presence of the Holy Ghost to prepare every mind, every soul, and every heart, God, for this encounter. Lord, the person right now that is sitting in your presence, God bent, God, hungry and desperate for things to change in their life. God, they want to meet you. God, they're tired of a dead religion. They want a relevant face-to-face meeting with you. Father, I pray the preparation of the Holy Spirit to prepare their hearts, to prepare their minds. God, that there would be an excitement and a hunger to meet with you. Father, there are no surprises, but the only surprises are those welcome encounters that you have with them, the blessings that you have in store for them. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, amen. I look forward to seeing you at the encounter.